Thank you, Rita, and good morning. So what I thought I'd do for this presentation is I went back and looked at some early days meeting reports on ELR, sort of the first reports back in the last century. What I was interested in seeing was where did the group that met then get it right? And where were they kind of naive? And where could you just look at things and say, my, how times have changed? So that's what I did. And here's the meeting reports, 1997 and 1999. Both of these meetings were sponsored jointly by CSTE and CDC and what's now APHL, although they had their longer acronym ASTFELD back then. And the grainy black and white that you see, that's intentional. We're looking back into the dim past here. And what I've done is cut and pasted a few passages from the earlier report, selectively, the ones I wanted to cut and paste. And I'll jump back and forth a bit between then and now. So I'm aiming for a kind of back to the future experience. No DeLorean, just slides. So these are verbatim cuttings and pastings. The report organized the ELR recommendations and analysis into these components: flow, format, and content. It's easy, or it was easy then, to get these aspects jumbled, confused, conflated. But this construct, flow and format and content, has helped organize our, or at least my, thinking, way of thinking about ELR since then. CDC and ASTO and ASTFELD should coordinate a unified approach to electronic reporting of clinical data. What a novel concept. Well, this idea of a unified approach or working together wasn't a wholly new idea back then, but apparently it wasn't so clear that it went without saying. It needed to be talked about and decided on and stated explicitly in the report. Flow. The group discussed how technological advances would allow for the possibility of a unified way station. In this arrangement, data would flow from laboratories to a central way station or way stations where they would be accessible to various data users with appropriate security and confidentiality protections in place. This approach was viewed as the best technical solution. The report goes on to say, despite these advantages, many participants agreed that such a plan would not be widely accepted since regulatory obstacles and jurisdictional disputes would make it impractical. A unified way station would also raise an assortment of concerns. Sometimes the technology isn't ready or isn't good enough. Sometimes the policy isn't ready. Sometimes the people and processes aren't ready. And there sort of needs to be a convergence of all these aspects to move forward in one direction or another. And so the group settled on this approach. Looks simple enough. Labs, health departments, health departments focusing on ELR. In the box, the term fully described set of specifications is chock full of content and flow and format, all of those things. And help implementing this so-called fully described set of specifications has been what a great deal of our recent technical assistance efforts have been about. It's in this box where the details that the devil is in are. Another, the approach we just described, this approach has several advantages. First, it allows progress in the areas on which there is already general agreement without precluding movement towards other models in the future if they become more feasible or more desirable. I think this assessment was basically right, and largely that's what's happened in the intervening time. We could have spent a lot of time going back and forth and not getting anywhere on technologies whose time hadn't come yet for one reason or another. But instead, this sort of practical, let's make progress in areas where we agree, has been sort of how this has unfolded, it seems to me. Format. The unified approach would specify the standard HL7 message and through a set of tables, reportable diseases and conditions. And then in the next paragraph, LOINC coding conventions for electronic reporting of laboratory data should be adopted for the OBX3 segment, test name of the message, and SNOMED convention should be adopted for the OBX5 or result segment for organism name. What I can tell you is that in that room in 1997, many of the people there were hearing the terms HL7, LOINC, and SNOMED for the first time, much less knowing anything about what they were. One more. This is 1997. The unified approach also builds in an incentive for CDC and other federal health agencies to support state efforts. Well, this sentence seems prescient now. This was, 13 years or so before the passage of the Affordable Care Act, which has allowed CDC to do just that. You want me to start over, Tom? So I've written here ELR interlude. It wasn't really an interlude, of course. 9/11 intervened, and a whole big emphasis in public health and all around in preparedness efforts, in thinking about syndromic surveillance. But meanwhile, also many states were implementing their state-based integrated systems that could handle ELR, and not all, but several continued to make ELR progress in the interim. So at this meeting, the CSTE meeting in 2009, there was a position statement, recommendations for the implementation of ELR in the United States, which called for a task force. ELR task force, and that task force worked over the course of the next year or year and a half, developed a set of useful, I think, products around meaningful use, informational products principally, around meaningful use and standards, resource and capacity assessment, some legal considerations, and working, Tom knows well, with thinking about how to interact better with large labs and LIS vendors. We also learned a lot about ELR and got much better acquainted with one another in the process. So here's a press release from 2011 announcing some of the early prevention and public health fund funding as part of the Affordable Care Act, and chunk of this through the ELC cooperative agreement was made available specifically for ELR implementation. So, using the general approach that we had outlined what was then 14 years earlier, bolstered by the products and sort of collaboration of the ELR task force work, we embarked on focused ELR implementation using these three general strategies. First, funding expressly for ELR in the ELC cooperative agreement. Second, technical assistance focused closely and connected with the ELR activities that states were doing in under the cooperative agreement for ELR. And third, implementation support and monitoring, which ensured regular communications that helped connect the ELR activities to appropriate technical assistance and just enhanced our communication with states around the country, and also allowed monitoring of implementation metrics, which, while they haven't been perfect, have been very useful. So what's happened? Well, so this is a map from 2012, which was the result of the first time we tried to take a look at this systematically. You'll notice that even by 2012, there were eight or so jurisdictions that were already receiving three-quarters or more of their lab reports electronically: Nebraska, Oregon, Idaho, and a couple, New York, and a few others. Okay, now the most recent. Okay, I love to do this, and so humor me. I like going back and forth and seeing how red the map has gotten. From the standpoint of ELR percent volume. By now, over 32 jurisdictions are receiving more than three-quarters of their reports electronically, and another 18 are receiving more than half. Looking at this a line graph way, on the bottom line, you can see a near doubling of the number of labs that are now reporting electronically this past spring compared to 2012. And in terms of percent volume of reports received electronically, approximately a 40% increase from just over half to now approximately three-quarters. Looking at meaningful use eligible hospitals in ELR, in the green line, you see a steady progression of hospitals going into production with ELR. And in yellow, you see a large reservoir of hospitals who are ripe for going from testing into production. Although I guess in truth, that step is sometimes a challenging thing to manage. So what happens when ELR or when lab reports arrive at the health department? So this is the sequence. The 100% is all reports, electronic or otherwise or however. The 75% are the lab reports that arrive electronically at the health department. And then the darker and lower bar is the ones that get into state systems in an automated way. So work to do there. So in the next slide, I've sort of pushed these together so you can see this all-in-one bar, sort of three-quarters ELR and only about a third are getting in an automated way. But that's not uniform across all conditions. And the next slide, where this bar is going to be at the far left, this is overall, and then we're going to see a couple of disease and condition areas and see how that varies. So again, the bar on the left is the same information I showed on the last one. And then for states with integrated ELR and largely with communicable disease conditions, that proportion, this is the darkest blue portion now of reports that get into systems in an automated way, is up around two-thirds. For STD, it's lower, although that's changing as they modify their guidance and approach to this and expect this to be going up over the next year or two. And with HIV, ELR, there's a fair amount of work still to do. just a couple of state stories. So in Kansas in 2012, they implemented an integrated disease surveillance system for their reportable diseases. And together with that implementation and some technical assistance efforts through our partner APHL, you can see what's happened. The dotted line is the national data that I showed you on the first line graph, and the solid green is Kansas. So before they were pulling the national average down, and now it's above the national average. And they've documented that their lab reports arrive sooner than they did via paper and faxes. Same kind of look for California, national data in the dotted line, and what's going on in California in the solid green. And their state system, CalReady, so CalReady implementation throughout California enabled ELR for most reportable communicable diseases. And they've developed a standard process to onboard ELR, which has helped a lot as well. And in 2015, so this is Florida. So the green line, it makes it look like their ELR is now lagging behind. But in this audience of epidemiologists who know very well that a percentage is a function of the numerator and the denominator, this phenomenon is a result of Florida making more lab events reportable. In fact, if we had included all of them that they just made reportable, this would be down, the 2016 point would be down around half. But the larger point is that Florida, now comfortable with ELR and seeing the potential public health value of some additional reportable events, has gone forward with doing that and fully expects the ELR to catch up soon enough. One slide about technical assistance, which has been an important part of the overall implementation effort, 64 completed and 18 in progress in a variety of areas, sort of hinted at by the fully described specifications box on the earliest slide, messaging and transforming and vocabulary and so forth. This is a big remaining piece to move percent volume ahead. This is a project APHL, CDC, and Quest in several states to enable high-volume Quest labs to send ELR using a single HL7 2.5 message, using for transport the Ames hub, the APHL Informatic Messaging Services hub, and with sort of the large volume Quest facilities, so the 17 largest, and starting in with five states in the first phase who have been meeting and talking just over the last couple of weeks. So this is our sort of experiment with an infographics approach to looking at some of this stuff. So the point here, the large labs make only a small number of reporters, 4%, but a lot of the volume. And if you look at reporting here, this is the Quest. But the key piece of information is that we think that when this project gets implemented, it could add up to 8 percentage points to the ELR percent volume by the time this is done. So this is an important one, especially noting that some jurisdictions are still getting paper from Quest. Last slide or two. So also, I found this curious passage, I thought, from the 1997 report. A technologic issue that was implicit during the meeting but not widely discussed was the use of the internet as the mechanism for transmitting data. So at that time, apparently, the internet was familiar enough to those folks who were there. Remember, this is about 10 years or so after the internet became commercially available, but a year or so before Google search became widely used. I've thought recently that it's been hard to elicit really good ELR stories about impact of implementation. And what I suspect now is that part of the reason is that in many places ELR is so firmly established that it's part of the regular workflow and not or no longer a cause for wonderment like it was to the folks thinking about this those years back. And that's a good thing. So a couple of final observations and a wish list. First of all, I think we should finish ELR. It's real. There's lots of important work to do, and we should be embarking on those, like all those meetings Sunday and since about ECR and assorted other things. But we should finish this while we're embarking those. Otherwise, you sort of never get done with anything. There's still a ways to go, as you've seen, in getting volume percent up, which could will happen substantially with the Quest implementation. Improving on automated input of ELR into state systems, not just dumping them at the door and having them rekeyed or cut and pasted or worse, not used at all. And then some clever thinking about how to handle that last 20%, which may, in truth, not end up being message. Some of the, you know, maybe web entry for a long period of time or that sort of thing. Second, we should learn from our ELR implementation, get to good strategies and plans, develop some general agreements, and then use something like the three-piece strategy that we did for ELR with focused funding and through cooperative agreements, technical assistance, and then groups dedicated to enhancing the communication and also measuring how we're doing so we know what's going well and what isn't. And then also move to the next big public health informatics undertakings. I mean, all of them have been big themes at this meeting: electronic health records and electronic case reporting, lab and epi integration in an era of advanced, that should say, molecular diagnostics, whether that's antibiotic resistance reporting, where you may need to know something about the mechanism, not just whether it is or isn't resistance, and a variety of other uses in foodborne disease. There is a couple of good sessions on that. One other example is health and environmental data in the era of climate change. Thank you.